Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. The day started on a positive note, and then news broke around 6:30. Tom Cruise is, in fact, making a sequel to Top Gun. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know why. Outside of a money grab, it makes no sense to me. But I'm going to try to get over it. We'll discuss that and more throughout the day, possibly get into some sports. Huge game last night in Cleveland. The Cavaliers found their way back. If you're just waking up and taking a look at the box score, ho-hum, 13-point win. But the manner in which it occurred is definitely worthy of discussion. Now, in the next hour, Dave Fleming is going to join us to talk Johnny Cueto and more at 7:30. We've also got NFL rule changes and updates from Santa Clara and Oakland as OTAs are underway. That's going to be at 7:45. Plenty of hoops to get into next, but for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
And the Cavaliers are the top story, Joe. They're one step away from meeting the Warriors in the NBA Finals. Kyrie Irving with 42, 21 of which came in the third quarter. Cavaliers beat the Celtics 112-99. They lead the best of seven, 3-1. Game five tomorrow in Boston. The NBA Finals begin June 1st. The first two games from Oracle Arena, you can hear them here on 95.7 The Game. Story number two, the Cubs' big bats were out at Wrigley.
That is hit high and deep and way, way back there. Gone. And that's the third home run hit by the Cubs in this game. This one with a man aboard. And just like that, it's 4-0.
John Miller from NBC Sports Bay Area 4-1 the final. Johnny Cueto took the loss. It's Matt Moore today at Wrigley. Story number three, the A's with some power surging at the Collie.
Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Rajay Davis at the plate. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball hit to deep left field. Hooking in the corner. Going back. Moore turning around at the wall and gone. And a two.
And he won't watch it fly this time, Kenny, apparently. It's Ken Korak here on 95.7 The Game.
He tricked us.
I thought we were going to watch it fly. Apparently we didn't. 11-9, A's lose. Yonder Alonso hit his 13th homer of the year, but left after being hit on the hand by a pitch. We've got day baseball today. Sonny Gray against Edinson Volquez of the Marlins. 11:45 is when it starts right here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Beach Blanket Babylon. If you're going to Beach Blanket Babylon, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. The Summer of Love is happening at Club Fugazi. For tickets, visit beachblanketbabylon.com. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the Warriors NBA Finals, just 8 days away. Be patient. On 95.7 The Game.
Let's just get better and better.
Thanks, Joe.
Beach Blanket Babylon.
It writes itself.
Sounds like a Frankie Valli movie.
It's actually a musical theater production, and it's based on that very thing. You'd love it.
Frankie Valli did Back to the Beach, right? Do you remember that movie?
Annette Funicello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I think I was 30 when that came out.
Damn, that was like 60 years ago. Maybe they should make a sequel to that. Maybe someone get Tom Cruise on the phone, see if he'll make a sequel to that.
Good God.
It's tough for me to get over this. It's Michael Lee said it perfectly. It's art. You don't see a sequel to the Mona Lisa, right? Why do we need a sequel to Top Gun? All right, I'll get over it at some point.
No, you won't.
Last night, no, I won't. You're right. I was trying to turn, what is it? Turn a positive cheek? Is that the phrase? Who cares? The day's ruined. Cruise is nuts. And he does it in Australia, of all places. Why does Australia get the breaking news on Top Gun? Are you going to fly your drones down there? Because it's really just going to be a drone war. Star Wars has already done it. So what do you got? What do you got, Cruise? Nothing.
Everyone's got Australia. Dibs got Australia. Joe, me and you don't have anything in Australia. What's up with that?
Dibs, you're dialed up down there. You do political hits on a regular basis. How did you not know about this?
Right.
It's New Zealand. This is Australia. They're just worlds apart. Even though they're only, you know, a few hundred kilometers apart. As the bird flies. They're two different worlds down there.
As the condor flies.
Yeah,
as like, the pterodactyl flies.
We don't keep our finger on the pulse of Canadian news, even though they're somewhere up there.
It's a fair point. Cleveland 112, Boston 99. Like I said, if you're waking up this morning and you see that the Cavs won by 13, ho-hum, they're 15-point favorites, no surprise. But the manner in which they did it, outscored 29-19 in the first quarter, and they looked lost, particularly LeBron James, who picked up four fouls, his fourth foul of which came with about 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. This looked like a series that could be extended further than anyone thought. And then Kyrie Irving took over, a career playoff high of 42 points, 36 of which came after LeBron's fourth foul. In the third quarter alone, Irving dropped 21 points on 9 of 10 shooting low. So far through the postseason, that's got to go down as one of the playoff, of all playoff series, best performances.
Oh, without a doubt. You saw the way that Kyrie was able to take off and take over, especially when LeBron goes down. You saw a guy then step up and say, you know what, put it on me. Put it on my back. I got this. The king is down, and it's a young king coming up. I'll be the son. Sometimes his son has to step up for his father, and you saw Kyrie do that. And this is a bad sign for if you look at Golden State. Golden State, I know they're watching that game saying, okay, because you were waiting to see this, because we know Kyrie's, you know he's capable of doing it, but then last night you got to see it, and hopefully this is not a sign to things to come, because if Kyrie can get going, LeBron gets going, now you're talking about a series that everyone's thinking is going to go 4-5, now you're talking about extending it to 6 or 7, especially if Kyrie can play at that level.
James, Irving, and Love combined for 93 points last night. That's the most that they've ever combined for in the playoffs during their 3 years together. Back to that in just a moment, but from the 510 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Hey guys, good morning. I was wondering if I could get a shout out to the Washington Manor Pirates for advancing to the championships. They'll be facing the Washington Manor Angels, 9- and 10-year-old division, Babe Ruth, Cal Ripken League in San Leandro. Thank you from Big Nick in San Leandro. Shout out to you guys. Congratulations. Keep it up.
It's awesome.
Be creative and be curious. If you get the opportunity in life, don't make sequels to things like Top Gun. Go out there and create on your own, young lads. Young lads. Aspire to more, right? That's the message.
You. The message really is to just borrow and steal and just do a remake.
Listen to that, Washington Manor Pirates.
Listen up here, Washington Manor Pirates. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It was a good movie. We all loved it. A little romance thrown in there. Just run it back. Why bother with creativity?
Every 30 years, just bring it back.
Just pull out your phone, play a couple more games, and just steal from somebody.
Let me ask you this. 4 or 5 days ago, we saw what Cleveland had been doing. Cleveland, Golden State, collision course, neither had lost a game. We're at a point now where we're 8 days from game one of the NBA Finals here in Oakland. It'll be Thursday, June 1st, 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. We're confident about our end of the equation. What's your level of concern regarding the opposition at this point versus 4 days ago?
I think it's pretty high, because you look at what Kyrie's done, and let's just thank Boston for participating, and let's give them a firm pat on the head for tomorrow, because they're going to give great effort. I don't think they're going to win, and even if they do, it's going to be Cavs in 6. I don't think anybody in their right mind could see Boston winning 3 straight against this team. So you look at the Cavaliers, and LeBron is still LeBron. Even though he had that bad game, he's still a machine, and he's going to play 45 minutes. What Kyrie Irving showed last night, his ability to straight take over and get to the rim. And, you know, you reminded me, Lo, of Clay and his struggles to keep Kyrie in front of him in the NBA Finals. Of course, Kyrie's very good off the bounce, and that matchup is going to be very troubling come June 1st.
Do you now, after the last two games, Lo, are you more concerned about what Cleveland brings to the table or less concerned?
I'm more concerned.
Even after a loss?
You know who scares me? Like you did, like we saw him last night. Kyrie, that kid, if he turns it on, Joe, he's unguardable. And you see the English, the spin that he has off the, when he goes in there, his body control and his ability to go in there with the weeds and get in there with the trees and still get the N1, it's pretty amazing. He's that guy that you say, I got to keep him under 23, 24 points. That's what you want. You don't want Kyrie getting hot and getting that 30 and 35, because if you have him going like that and you got LeBron, now you got 60 to 70 points right there and you're like, okay. And you know JR can show up at times. Shumpert can show up. And you know Kevin Love. Look what this guy. Kevin Love has been doing a hell of a job. Joe, this year it's different. Last year he spot up and he get your 3. You said, okay, where's Kevin Love? Everyone's talking about where's Kevin Love. This year, You got to give Lou some credit. I know the little man, the little coach, everyone says LeBron's running it, but he's put Kevin in the post at times to have him go down there, and you watch where he's at in the paint. He gets the ball. He's tough to move out of there, and he's got some nice moves down there. And then, boom, what do? They take him out to the three-point line and then spread him out. They move Kevin Love around a lot. He plays different parts of that offense, and he does it in a great job, in a great way that he does it, and they get him involved. So Kevin Love, too, is playing him a hell of a ball, too.
Agreed. And he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done in this series. I don't see that happening against Golden State. His defense is trash. There was a moment last night early where he was on Avery Bradley for some inexplicable reason.
Too slow.
Bradley just blew past him to the rack.
Saw that.
It like his feet weren't even set. The Warriors are going to move at such an alarming pace. Love's going to be lost. Love's going to get caught in the shuffle. See, Irving can thrive at that pace. James can thrive at any pace. We know how the Warriors play at that pace. Guys like Love, they're the ones that get lost in the shuffle. They're the ones that are always a step behind. They're back trying to play defense. They get exposed. They come running to the other end of the floor. They're gasping a little bit. They try to get a shot off. They miss. Then it becomes mental. Then the Warrior crowd gets on them. That's how you break a guy like Kevin Love. He's been broken before. He can be broken again.
You put Love on Zaza. They're going to switch this thing up a lot.
Zaza will take him right out of the equation. He might be MVP of the playoffs so far.
Then he may have to. Because that's what you do. You got to hide Love. And Zaza's not going to necessarily hurt you scoring to me, Dib. So you hide him at times. You put him, and now you put Tristan Thompson, who's a big guy who can play out there on the perimeter, who can move his feet and run, rebound, do his other things. So you're going to see, this is going to be an interesting chess match to me.
Absolutely. And that's why we have 8 days to break it down. That's what's so much fun about this. We get to sit here and we get to talk about strategy at this point. Irving and LeBron. Actually, let me phrase it like this. I'll start with you, Dibs, on this one. We always talk upside and potential. We talk about how great the Warriors can be, what they've done so far. We talk about what LBJ, Kyrie, and Love did last night, scoring 93 points. Downside, though, who's got the bigger downside? When a team goes cold, how long does it take to get out of that rut? We've seen the Warriors get off to slow starts against San Antonio, but they came back to win. Granted, Leonard got hurt, but we also saw it happen in San Antonio a couple months back, right? I've seen Cleveland now fall into a total rut at the end of game three, and yesterday came out very flat in the first quarter and first half of the second quarter in game two. Who is more inclined to have a worse downturn? Do you know what I'm saying by that?
I do.
Who could fall into a spiral, a deeper spiral between the two teams?
I think the Cavaliers' spiral is worse than the Warriors' spiral because the best player out of all these guys to be able to get a bucket would be Kevin Durant. I put LeBron James a close second, but he's shown at times he's not determined to drive to the hoop and do what he needs to do. He settles for jumpers. Kevin Durant, when he wants a bucket, he has four or five things that he can do, and you simply can't stop him. And because of that, I think the Warriors' downside is not as deep as the Cavaliers' downside.
Basically, if you've gone 2 or 3 minutes without a basket, you feel the Warriors could break that streak faster than Cleveland can get out of a slump like that.
Yeah, I think KD would be the first guy, and then, you know, Steph would be right there. Obviously, LeBron. Kyrie showed last night that he can get a bucket whenever he wants, and we're still waiting for that Claymaker game to pop out that you're talking about, the game where he pumps in 15 unanswered points of his own.
It's coming. He's going to have one of those in the finals. The fact that we doubt that shows how spoiled we've become.
He will.
We've seen it the last 2 years. Thompson had great defense in the last round. He doesn't deserve to catch as much criticism as he does, especially in a four-game sweep. Imagine where you are criticizing certain players playing that great a defense in a four-game sweep. But we'll see him emerge in the next round. For you, we saw what happened on Christmas Day.
Right.
The Warriors controlled that all the way until about 8.5 minutes remained.
They did. And here's the thing, I agree with you, Dibs. KD is smoother, more polished than LeBron. LeBron is more of that dumb truck. He's going to run you over. And if you get in front of him, he might create that charge. So, yeah, that KD is just more silkier, can create the jump shot, put the ball in the hole, and go to the hole as well. But the thing about it is, we talked about how Cleveland can get stagnant. But Kyrie Irving, if LeBron's sitting, he's unguardable. That's when he's in that mode. And, of course, guys go cold, but he can create the shot and take it to the hole and get the and-one for a shorter guy and not being as tall and doesn't have – he can do a lot of things that a lot of big men can't do. So I saw them stagnant because they're waiting on the king. But, see, that's the difference is, see, this team don't wait on Steph. They have Seth Gores. They got KD. You got Clay. You got Draymond.
Draymond a little fly.
Draymond ain't scared.
He ain't shy about that open three.
He's not shy. But you look at the Cavs sometimes wait on LeBron. And it's like, no, they have to be more assertive. And it went to yesterday you got to see a guy in Kyrie say, okay, I'm going to just take over. He has that ability to do that. And yesterday we got to see that on display. So when you're talking about a team has a chance to go stagnant, if he puts his mind to it and he's in that mode, they don't have to go stagnant because he's going to make guys collapse on him and then Kevin Love over in the corner and other guys they have that can knock down some threes. So it's just going to be an interesting matchup throughout this series.
888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. And that leads into this question right here. The Warriors have shown, not just through the playoffs, but through the end of the regular season, that generally at the end of the first, beginning of the second, Durant and Steph are going to sit together. A lot of people have found that curious. Why not keep one of the scorers on the floor at all times? Why sit them both together? Now, it's worked out quite well. They've won, what, 26 to 27? They haven't lost a road game since that one at San Antonio when Steph, Draymond, Clay, AI, all of them didn't play.
Right.
That's the last time they lost a road game, months ago. So everything's going pretty well. But the second quarter would be the concern for me, the start of the second quarter. When the bench gets involved, things slow down a bit. They don't score as frequently. And we saw this in the playoffs 2 years ago, as well as last year. There tends to be a bit of a malaise at that point. It's not a major concern, but when you're trying to nitpick a team that's been this great, that's something that stands out, the start of the second quarter. And in a series that could be determined by 2 to 3 points every night these two get together, that could be the difference. Do you think there's a change in philosophy heading into the finals? Because Cleveland's going to look at this and say, look, if the Warriors are going to throw a lineup out there that doesn't involve Durant and Steph, maybe you see LeBron during that stretch. Maybe you see him with Kyrie. Who knows? But you know LeBron's going to give you 43, 44 minutes a night. Do you think there's a departure from the whole Steph and KD on the bench at the same time situation?
No,
in this
I don't.
Games?
Really? I don't. I think that stint without Steph in there and KD in there might get shorter, but you're still going to see Steph play his opening 12 minutes and go out. You're going to see KD play that 6 or 7 minutes and then go out, and then he'll come back in the second quarter. I don't think you want to change your rotation much. The big question for me in that second quarter is, when's Clay going to step up? Because that's Clay's time.
Yeah,
They go to Clay early in the game, right. Usually. They try to get Clay involved in the first 2 or 3 trips. They get him a couple of looks. Then they'll go away from him. But in the second quarter, that's when they need him to step up and score. And so if he can do his part there, along with Draymond, who usually comes back in there, and it's Iguodala, and it's Livingston, maybe it's David West, or it's JaVale McGee, depending on the rotation. But that's when you need Clay to come in and score.
And that's what they're going to do when David West comes in the game. They're going to put Fry in the game because David West, he can't hurt you necessarily with his feet. He hurts you with his ability to pass the ball. He's a tough, physical guy. So what they're going to do is that they're going to put Shannon Frye and try to get Shannon Frye to extend him outside of that range. And now Shannon Frye, we know, is a knockdown three. Big guy, can still shoot the three. So it's going to be an interesting chess match with the different pieces that both these teams have to try to keep, you know, the edge, especially when you go to the twos, Joe.
I think David West might be your sleeper in this series. He's going to get limited minutes, but follow David West's career. Turned down massive money for an opportunity at a ring with the Spurs. Didn't work out, so be it. Turned down big money yet again to join the Warriors for a chance for a ring. You don't think that dude is focused 100% on those limited minutes he's going to get?
Love him.
When he's on the court, it might not be perfection, but you are going to get hard minutes from David West in this series. You're going to get real hard minutes from David West in this series. That's one guy you're going to be able to bank on. I got a real good feeling about that. It might only be 6 minutes a night, 7 minutes a night. You know everyone in the starting lineup is going to be giving you close to 40 if the situation calls for it. But David West, and maybe even to a lesser extent if he gets in there, Matt Barnes, this is the end of the line. Yeah. This is your opportunity right here. Unlike the rest of the guys who've got rings, who know what they're playing for David West, he's been chasing this for a couple years.
You're right.
You're going to get some good minutes out of D. West.
And the schedule favors the older guy being able to play longer, more intense stretches because you go with Thursday and then Sunday is the next game.
Yeah, you have
2 and 3 day gaps throughout.
Massive gaps. Thursday to Sunday to Wednesday to Friday to Monday to Thursday to Sunday.
So only one time, Wednesday to Friday, and I believe that's game 3 to game 4.
Correct.
Is there just one day in between? So you've got massive amounts of time to rest for a guy playing 12 minutes.
But Dibs, here's the thing, though. It favors LeBron, too. You know
what I'm saying? No doubt.
You want to see quicker games because I don't care. But I want LeBron tired. And you give him 2-3 nights to get better. This is a guy, 32, we talked about. You give him that type of rest, especially the type of minutes, that's going to favor for him as well, too. And he's a guy to get more extended minutes. This is just going to be an interesting matchup. I think the Dubs have more talent, and they have different guys that can do different things. But this is going to be just a great game, especially with the merging of Kyrie and what he's been able to do. And then we're forgetting about Shumpert, the things that he can do defensively, get people's face, get guys going. They have some guys, you've seen the older guys that are there. Have too. So this is just going to be a good matchup. I see the Dubs winning this, but I think if Kyrie plays like he can play, what we saw last night, this extended this series from 4-5 games to 6 or 7, in my opinion.
Wardell gets his revenge in this series. Last 2 years, he's gone, I don't want to say MIA, but Steph hadn't been Steph in the finals last 2 years. They've gotten quite physical with him. You want to get physical with him again, have at it, but you got to worry about Kevin Durant. That's the beauty of the addition of Kevin Durant, the ability to get to the line late. Last year, yeah, in Game 7,
they
just disappeared. And Christmas Day this year, same thing. Now, they were still gelling as a unit, and they played better basketball. I'm not worried about a game like that. But KD's ability to, if they at the very least need to stop a three-minute skid, go to the rack, get fouled, get to the line, and he can knock them down. Oh, in Oakland. Is this the letter O in Oakland giving us a phone call? Is that what this is? That's unique. O in Oakland. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Happy hump day. I got something to say real quick. I agree with everybody, even Lowe, which I very agree with
you. I love you, too.
Good. You know, but who's physical? What's a thumper on Boston? They don't have no enforcers on there. We have 3 shot blockers, KD, McGee, even Zaza sometimes, and Draymond. We are more physical this year than we were last year. And even though Klay Thompson, you know, isn't shooting as well as we are accustomed to, but when you are a shooter, your shot is going to come. And he's a great shooter, has one of the best releases on the team, in my opinion. Squares to the basket, and his release is beautiful. So I'm not really worried. It's going to be an interesting matchup, but we are going to win. It's going to close. We're probably average winning games between probably 8 to 9 points. In Boston, they just don't have a physical force. They had that game won in their hand. And then one more thing. Everyone was scared to shoot at the end. We got 4 guys, sometimes 5 shooters on there, and McGee is going to be the MVP of the final. Because you put him on there, that guy can out the gym.
Wow, Big O with a big call there with JaVale McGee, MVP. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, O. That was great stuff. Oh, one of the underrated vowels, in my opinion, on Mount Valmore, Dibs. Where would O rank?
It's absolutely on there. It's just behind.
Well, there's only 5 vowels.
Well, sorry, you, but you're not getting it. And sometimes you got no chance. It's A, E, I, and O. You need I for the ing. E's and A's are everywhere. And an O, the O is much more important than the U.
The U gets left off of Mount Valmore.
Other than the Q, you got no real use. You? We can go with an OE and take your place.
I'll take foods that start with the letter Q for 200, Alex.
That's very good.
Quiche. I love it the way that played out in White Man Can't Jump. How she just gets that one obscure category she had been training for years. Bay Rob, San Francisco, thanks for calling the show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
You know what? Pretty good. Pretty good, Bay Rob. How you doing?
All right. I'm good, fellas. Check this out. This is what I didn't understand last night. They put LeBron on the blitz. They put LeBron on the bench with 4 fouls. How come they didn't double-team Kyrie and take the ball out of his hands? They seen that he was killing them. He had them on ice skates, and they didn't take the ball. They just let him go one-on-one with Bradley all night long, knowing that this dude is a great scorer, and we seen what he could do. We know what he could do. I just didn't understand that last night.
They tried a couple times, though.
LeBron on the bench.
They tried to double him a couple times. You seen him. He was just – it was like the Matrix. He was dribbling between 2 and 3 guys at times.
Hey, they wasn't double-teaming it hard enough, and I don't think that would happen with the Warriors. I think we would play better defense than that. And then on top of that, when you got a great player to go both ways, you got to send him one way and give him that choice. You can't give him options. Everybody know that plays basketball, that know how to play defense. You got a great player, you got to send him one way. And that got to be that. He's too good for you to let him stay in the middle of the key and drive down the lane. That's all I got for you guys. Thanks, fellas.
It's great stuff, Bay Rob.
Hey, Rob,
you do you today. You do you today. That was good stuff. Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a 2016 Premier Porsche dealer. And Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Game one, 8 days away. But as it pertains to Major League Baseball, two things. Number one, lay the 130 with Sonny Gray and the A's today. Number two, Johnny Cueto. Are the Giants really considering shutting him down? Dave Fleming, he's going to answer that and more next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
For some reason, the trolls I work with on this program find it to be humorous to, not you, Dibs, the back office. Nice guy, Steven, producer Cody.
He's not a nice guy today, I'm sure now.
No, he's troll guy, Steven. The news that Tom Cruise is going to bring back Top Gun 2 is going to start shooting next year. Pure stupidity. Hollywood has reached a point now where there's nothing left. They've officially given up on creativity. If the show or the concept ends in man, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, they'll make it. Other than that, it's going to TV. That's why you've got great TV right now. Netflix, Amazon, everything you're seeing on FX and beyond, billions on Showtime. All the great TV writers with original concepts, or all the great writers with concepts, are going to TV because garbage like this is what Hollywood's interested in. Newsflash, we fight with drones now. So what is it going to be, a video game? We already did that. It was the Matthew Broderick War Games. Remember that movie?
Loved it.
What is that? Is that Top Gun 2? That's all it is.
You're upset, Joe.
I love this. I love when
Top Gun's a great movie. You know what? I don't like the trend in which we're heading. Hollywood's about creativity. Come up with a creative concept, turn it into entertainment for us. That's your job. To just take something that already happened, oh yeah, we're going to do Top Gun 2. Ooh, it's 30 years too late. If you had 30 years to make this movie, do you know how good it better be? And it's not going to be good. That's what disappoints me. They tried to remake Point Break. They ruined it. That garbage that they put out there for that movie, they shouldn't have even called it Point Break. You can rip it off like Fast and the Furious did and give it a different name. No one's going to do anything about it. Whatever, we'll get back into it. For everyone who's questioning the pick today, too, yes, I'm laying the 130 with the A's. Sonny Gray, look at how he's trending. 8 strikeouts in the last outing. A's lost yesterday. They got an off day, and then they hit the road. They're going to win today. Lay it with the A's. Dave Fleming, broadcaster extraordinaire for the San Francisco Giants and ESPN, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Flem, help me out here. Hollywood, Top Gun 2. This is unacceptable, in my opinion. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it probably is not going to be a great movie, but this was not a shock to me to hear that they were going to make this. I mean, if they're making remakes and redos of some of these other ones they've done, Top Gun was sort of like a no-brainer. In fact, I'm listening to you talk there. War Games, I'm sure they're working on a remake of that one. You know, they could modernize that, update that.
Without a doubt.
I could see that happening.
I'm sure Ferris Bueller's available.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, still a box office. Good. Let's hope not on Ferris Bueller. Top Gun, maybe a chance to salvage something out of a Top Gun. Because this isn't a remake, right? It's going to be a sequel?
Yeah, correct. Not unlike Riskier Business or Ferris Bueller's Second Day Off.
So maybe like Tom Cruise is now the flight instructor, and we, you know, they have Miles Teller be like the young up and coming student, something like that.
Probably one of the Hemsworth brothers.
Oh, probably so. Yeah, I aimed low, probably.
Outstanding. Dave Fleming here on 95.7 The Game. Dave, big questions around here about Johnny Cueto and his blistered fingers. How big of a concern should it be? And can they afford to skip him in light of not having Madison Bumgarner and not being able to maybe give up wins at this juncture of the season?
Well, I would strongly consider it if they really think the blisters are the reason why the performance isn't quite as sharp as we would expect it to be. Even if you say, well, we don't really have a good replacement and we don't have Bumgarner, for the good of Cueto to try to get him back to where he needs to be, I would consider skipping him a start and seeing if that helps. And I don't know if they are actually considering it or not, or if Johnny says no, I don't need that. You know, I haven't heard any of that stuff, but clearly there's something that's a little different. And you know, last night he only gave up 5 hits. It wasn't like he just got racked around, but his mistakes are right out over the middle of the plate, and that's never been Cueto. And the home runs, he's almost given up as many home runs this year as he did all of last year. He's given up, I think, 11 home runs now this year. We're not even finished with May. That is a big number for him. And he's a short right-handed pitcher who doesn't throw 100 miles an hour. So he's got to pitch down in the strike zone. He can't. Up in the zone is flat for Cueto. Now, strategically, every once in a while, he can elevate him. I'm not saying every single pitch has to be right at the knees. But his mistakes, he doesn't have the margin for error that maybe somebody who's got big downward tilt or huge velocity has. If he misses up, those pitches are really hittable. And we saw Kyle Schwarber hit one. I think some people were saying maybe 470 feet. Last night. So he's got to get that ironed out. That's a long answer to say if they think that would clear it up, even if you don't have a natural replacement, I would maybe give him a start to try to get that healed up.
Dave Fleming with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. On a more positive note, Ty Block seems to be settling into a groove. The last couple outings have been pretty solid from the youngster.
Yeah, especially last night might have been, or two nights ago, might have been the most impressive outing for me of his career. I guess probably the game 161 was with all the pressure of that and pitching against Kershaw. But I just can't emphasize enough how many pitchers get intimidated even before they throw a pitch if you show up at Wrigley and the wind is howling out like it was. And Ty Block was standing on the field watching batting practice, and every hitter looked like Babe Ruth. I mean, the batting practice was a joke two nights ago. The ball was just flying out of Wrigley. And for him to stand up there and pitch the way he did in that circumstance was really impressive. I do think, you know, we have a question looming over him for the long term of, is he going to be able to sustain success without strikeouts? Like, he's got the lowest strikeout rate basically of any pitcher in the big leagues, and that's hard to do. I mean, even the Giants have had lots of examples of guys who've had success. The one that really jumps to mind is Kirk Reeder without a huge strikeout rate, but Kirk Reeder's was significantly more than Ty Block's has been so far. So maybe as he refines that breaking ball, he's got the great fastball changeup combo. Maybe get a few strikeouts on the breaking ball, just keep hitters a little more off balance. I love everything about the kid, though, from, you know, finishing his pitches in a great position to field his position, to his competitiveness, his determination, his game planning, his mind on the mound. All that stuff is really, really good.
In your opinion, Buster Posey, is he maintaining, and is he a guy that you can see to continue to get better, or is he a guy that's reached his pinnacle and you'll see now the decline start to happen?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. I would say this. I think Posey's defense just keeps getting better and better. It is hard for players to do anything but decline once you reach a certain age. It just
sure.
You know, almost everybody has a point where maybe your best is behind you, but Posey's best is Hall of Fame, all-time good best, and he's having another excellent year, and this is about as good and impressive of a stretch as he's had in years, I think. So I think there's a lot of good baseball left. But the main point to emphasize with Buster, I think, is the guy loves catching. He wants to be the catcher. He's put himself in a position physically where, and the Giants do try to keep him as fresh as they can, but he catches almost as much as anybody who's not Yadier Molina across Major League Baseball. And as long as he wants to do it and the offense is still good, there will come a time where all that catching takes a toll on the game for Buster. But he is so valuable to the Giants as a catcher. It's just, it's hard to state how good he is back there, how much he means to the pitchers. As long as he wants to do it and can physically hold up, it's just such an advantage for the Giants to have him back there. So I don't see that slowing down for a long while.
Dave Fleming with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Flem, what do you think the future holds for Hunter Pence? He's battling some hamstring issues at the moment. He's been rumored as a guy who, should the Giants not be able to turn around, maybe they would move him at the deadline. How do you think it all plays out for Pence down the stretch here?
Well, that seems unlikely to me that he's going to be moved. you know, partially because right now I don't think he's got a lot of, he would have to reestablish some value and show that he is healthy, which I think everybody expects that he will do. So if the assumption is he comes back healthy and starts hitting like Hunter Pence, I guess it's a possibility if the Giants don't get their season fully turned around by then. But I, you know, he has been injury prone these last few years, and it's not for lack, it's not like, oh, this guy's not keeping himself in shape. Nobody works harder to be in shape and be ready for a year than Hunter does. He just, you know, the hamstring problems now are a little chronic, and I'm glad they're giving him this time because they do miss him. But I think you just worry with a hamstring that when things aren't going well, that it's about to blow. And we've seen that before from him. So I expect he'll come back. And if he's a little fresher and has a little more explosion, I think we'll see more of the old Hunter Pence. I don't, you know, he's not going to be a 30 home run hitter anymore at this point in his career, but he can still definitely help this team be a better team.
Broadcaster extraordinaire for both the Giants and ESPN. Follow him on Twitter at Fleming Dave. It's Dave Fleming with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Flem, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it. We look forward to catching up again soon.
Anytime. I'm going to go back to casting Top Gun 2 on my little hotel notepad now.
The fat Val Kilmer should be a real treat as Iceman in that one.
I like Val Kilmer. You sneak him into the movie, I'll go watch it.
He's fantastic. That movie, The Saint, yeah. Plus, if you never saw The Doors, him as Jim Morrison is remarkable.
Yeah, that was a great performance. He's had a lot of good ones over the years.
All right. Thanks, Flem. We appreciate it.
No problem. See you.
I will say this. This was brought to my attention regarding this news that Cruise is bringing back Top Gun. Blade Runner is coming out this summer. That looks awesome. For all the criticism I hand down for these sequels and lack of creativity, if you saw the trailer for the new Blade Runner with Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling, it looks pretty awesome. It looks really awesome, actually. So maybe I should pump the brakes just a bit. Now, I'll continue to troll Cruise throughout the day. Don't get me wrong. I will bash this idea of Top Gun 2, but Blade Runner does look awesome. And from the 650, okay, if you're wrong and it's a good movie, are you willing to say on national radio that it was good and you were wrong? Yeah, I'm always willing to admit when I'm wrong. But in this situation, I'm going to be right. Something in your throat there,
yeah,
love?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Excuse me.
Something in your throat?
Dibs. Did you hear that guy?
Don't put me in the middle of this one, love.
I have to do Beat the Bookie every week and admit when I'm wrong.
He does. You put me in the middle. You made me choose. Joe, you're right this time.
Thank you, Dibs.
Now, Lo, will you admit you were wrong? Probably not.
All the time.
See? Yeah. He does.
This show's never wrong. That's the beauty of it. Everything you hear is always right. Except wrong. For 42% of my picks, at the very least. All right, here's what we're going to do. We got the NFL coming up next. Navarro Bowman, question for you. Is he going to be a 49er come week one? The answer might not be as simple as you think. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
I feel the need for speed.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
8 days until game one of the NBA Finals, Thursday, June 4th, 6 p.m. tip right here, 95.7 The Game. Warrior Wednesday, driven by Premier Nissan of Stevens Creek. For the best deals, visit your winning team in the South Bay, Premier Nissan of Stevens Creek. Online at PremierNissanOfStevensCreek.com. We got tickets to give away in about an hour. Bobby Jackson is going to join us at 8:30. Tim Roy at 9:05. A lot of football news to get to in this segment, so buckle up. We're going to start with the 49ers, but there's plenty to get to with NFL rule changes, Odell Beckham, and the Raiders as well. OTAs starting around the league. Lo, take us through what OTAs are like. Let's start with that. Teams are getting together. Yep. What's an OTA?
Well, what happens is the offseason program, it starts. And what you do there is you get in probably around 7:30 to 8, Joe. And usually it's a little workout. You have your lifting. You lift. And then it's like an hour. Either it's offense or defense. When you lift, usually it's either running backs, receivers, and DBs lift together, the lighter guys. And the other guys are either in a meeting. So you come in, get that workout in. Then you go into your classrooms. You're there. Going in there, going into the plays that you're going to implement when you put them on the field. Come in for that. After you get done with the meetings, you go out to the field. You stretch, coaches come out there, and you kind of just go to little off-season programs. So you're working out, doing those things, and you're actually putting in, you know, coaches can be out there for a certain amount of practice and watch it. Then at around 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, Joe, you're done. Have lunch. Guys usually get out there. And the next day, so on and so on, you watch film. What you do the following day is you watch the film from the night before. Usually sometimes you don't have to watch it the same day because they want to get guys out there by noon. You have to be out there by off the field and stuff by 12 o'clock. So getting guys still that free time. So it's tough. You can go out in shoulder pads, not shoulder pads, but you can go out in helmets and you can go out in shells, but you can't be in full pads or anything like that. So it's just getting timing, offense, implementing defense. So it's really just kind of going through and fine tuning yourself leading up to mini camps and training camp.
Okay. So it's just the tip, so to speak, of the NFL preparation process. Huh. Get them in, see what you've got, get familiar with the playbook, new personnel, and then leave everyone with a positive message, and then you'll be regrouping come July.
Yes, all absolutely. Right.
So OTAs in full effect, and as it pertains to the 49ers, the one thing we knew coming into this season, as we've seen the last couple years, is that the roster devoid of elite talent. Not to say that they don't have talent, but compared to the best in the business, it's a team that's a work in progress. Understandable. This is what we know what we're getting into with the 49ers this season. So, very little pressure. Take your time. Build it up. Lynch, Shanahan, they have the trust of the fan base. One position, however, where they seem to have an abundance of talent is at linebacker. Reuben Foster, the rookie from Alabama, who's rehabbing an injured shoulder, fell in the draft. The 49ers were able to scoop him up at the end of the first round when they traded back in. Navarro Bowman, Pro Bowler, still in the mix. And weak side linebacker Malcolm Smith, former Raider, was acquired in the offseason. Now, Kyle Shanahan had this to say about the logjam at linebacker. Quote, you don't know what's going to happen. Seeing Bo out here and how healthy he's been, knowing we've added some good free agents and the way the draft worked out, having a linebacker we ranked very highly fall to us at the end of the first round, we got a lot better pretty fast. When you ask me how it's going to play out, I'm not sure. It's a good problem to have. It's something you'd like to have at every position. There's going to be a very good player who's not out there all the time. That's not a bad thing. That makes the two guys who are out there go a lot harder and play better. It makes special teams better and allowed you to survive injuries, which almost always happens. Bowman's response to this, in regards to whether or not he'd be the guy who's out there all the time, quote, I won't be on the sideline. I'll tell you that right now. Interesting to think that with a rookie in Foster who can't even participate in OTAs and a linebacker in Malcolm Smith who struggled with the Raiders, Bowman could be the odd man out here?
M-O-N-E-Y, money, and here's a guy that you see that's coming off an injury, just ripped his Achilles, a knee injury 2 years prior to that. It's just interesting. You look at the money. It's not that he's not the better linebacker, but it's going to be interesting to see how well he plays. But we know Navarro Bowman has a big heart, can run, can do a lot of different things. It's just going to be predicated on how healthy is Navarro Bowman and what can you get at him. Can you get a full season? So I think that those are concerns as a new organization. You got to say you go into those meetings with the team and with your scouting department and your head coaches and say, okay, here's a guy, okay, he's bigger, he can run, he's a good player, but here's the injuries, here's the downside. We got $12 million invested in this guy. If he get hurt, what happened? What are we liable for? So it's a lot of things. Is the risk worth the reward, especially, Joe, on a team that's in rebuilding mode? So that's going to be the multi-million dollar question for Navarro Bowman. Do they want to keep him there, and do they really feel that he's healthy enough to give them a whole season?
That leads us to today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, fellas. Today's question, will Navarro Bowman be a 49er week one of the NFL season?
Dibs, you've heard low. You've done the research yourself. You know what the contract looks like. You know where the team's headed. Your thoughts, is Bowman going to be a Niner come week one?
I think he will be. At the end of the day, you need depth at all positions, and this guy is still legitimately a starting player, and even if he doesn't start the year in the starting lineup, I think the fact that he's available to you via injury and other reasons, you got to have this guy on the roster. I don't think the Niners are in a position to want to get rid of guys who will be contributing members of your starting 11. I think he stays.
Low, come week one, Navarro Bowman, is he a member of the 49ers?
Joe, if I'm going to say no, because I think that it's a lot of money that will go against the cap. Now, I think that they look at it. You heard that there was trade rumors earlier, and then they said they'd be willing to shop him. No biters, no suitors. They squashed it. But if they're looking at numbers, you say, if we cut this guy, how much will we save on our cap to go after free agents next year? I think Navarro Bowman won't be on the team.
Anna.
I think he will be on the team. I think that right now, when they squashed the rumor, they were talking about Vance McDonald being one of the players that they were shopping. They said, no, it was not Navarro Bowman. I don't think also that he's at that point where they would get as much as they could get out of Navarro because of the injuries in the past. I know they can get a lot for him, but he's also somebody that the organization, that people love, that the whole Niner Nation, the Niner faithful love. That's who they, you know, they look to. So he's a strong player that they could rally around. So I don't think they're going to get rid of him right now.
On the flip side of the equation, you have the Oakland Raiders opening OTAs as well. Now, Marshawn Lynch did not participate. He stayed inside the facility. No reason to panic here. Low, take people through it. If they're wondering why Marshawn Lynch isn't necessarily out on the field, proven veteran, explain.
Simple. It's what we've been talking about all the time. When we first signed him, he said, here's a guy that hasn't played football in over a year. You don't want to throw a racehorse out there in the Kentucky Derby when he hasn't been getting ready to run and getting ready to train. Yes, Marshawn Lynch has been working out, but he hasn't been doing the football things, the cutting, the jumping, all those different things. It's different than working out. So they're going to take their time, get this guy out there doing the striders, doing the different, he might go some one-on-one stuff that he's doing that the trainer is saying, hey, Marshawn, let's go do our gassers. Let's go do our cut drills. The running back coach doing certain things. You do not want to just throw this guy in there automatically, all the things that his body's been through. So it will take his time to get him out there. He will be out there. But I think right now this is a good move because you just paid for this guy. You don't want to just throw him out there and risk injuries.
The Raiders at OTAs had a special guest, Dibs. None other than former Detroit Lion wide receiver Calvin Johnson was in Alameda for the start of OTAs. As a, what are they calling it? A special guest and advisor. Ooh. Is the term. Now, he and Todd Downing, new offensive coordinator, go way back. Downing was the quarterback's coach in Detroit for a few years with Calvin Johnson. So they're friends, so they know each other. Can we start the Calvin Johnson come out of retirement to the Raiders run here? Can we get that
yes,
going?
Yes, we can,
Joe. Can
we
float that nonsense?
I think the first question is, does Tim Brown let him wear number 81? Because I have Megatron's number. I think Michael Rivera currently wears it. I'm not totally positive on that. But the very idea of Megatron being out there to offer advice to Amari Cooper and to chop it up with Michael Crabtree and the rest of the receivers, that can't be a bad thing. This guy had a pretty impressive career, and obviously it didn't end great in Detroit. Reports of that surfacing throughout the weekend and this week. But the idea of just having him available, you know, like a great pinch hitter on a championship caliber team, to have a great fourth outfielder, why not have Megatron in there? You don't really have to use him. You got two other great elite receivers, but to have him for the playoff run, that'd be pretty awesome.
Lo, obviously fans are going to see pictures of Megatron at Raiders training camp. They're going to think about the fact that Marshawn Lynch was just brought out of retirement to join the team. They're going to think about everything Johnson did as a member of the Lions, what he could bring to this offense. It's easy to get excited about something like this. Do you think there's any legs to it, though? Should there be any excitement that maybe, just maybe, Johnson wants to come back and play for the Raiders?
Well, Joe, if you told me, give me the five worst organizations you think in NFL, would Detroit fit in your category? Would you say organization that doesn't necessarily treat the guys the best and is an organization, you say, is one of its worst organization in the league?
What, Detroit?
Yeah.
They're clueless. That's why the last time they won a playoff game was 91. That's not by coincidence. You don't go by coincidence when a team doesn't win a playoff game for damn near 30 years. That's not bad luck. That's bad management.
Okay, and here's another thing I'm going to ask you. Barry Sanders, did Barry have anything left in his tank when he decided to walk away from football?
Sadly, he did. We were all gypped out of that.
And he walked away because he said he did not feel that this organization was getting the help and the things that he needed to make it to the next level. It's different, Joe. When you're out there on the field and you're playing and you're a superstar and you know what you can do and you see the team around you and you're not getting any help, those getting out of bed, the pain, it hurts a little bit more. And you're like, where am I going? Is this team really looking out for me? Is it just, okay, I know I'm paid, but I want more than that. I don't want to just be a successful failure. Because success, you're Pro Bowler, all those things, Hall of Fame, that's success. But if you're a failure because you never won a Super Bowl. So you got to look at guys like that. So when you ask me this question, can you look at this more? Here's a guy that he's comfortable to, this coach that's there. Now he's with the Raiders. He goes out there. He's around those guys. He knows where this team wants to go. He's already given back his $300,000. Is this something where he goes and the team says, hey, this is something, we gave him back your money. Will Detroit let this guy go? Can this guy still play? I think he can, and I still think he can play at a high level. So if he falls in love with Jack and all the different things around there, and he's out there and you see what he likes and see the – there is a possibility that the old fella might say, I got one more run in me.
Wishful thinking. It would be a lot of fun. Obviously, a lot of fun. I don't necessarily see it happening, but great for guys like Amari Cooper to get to pick the brain of a wide receiver like Calvin Johnson. That's only a winning situation for your Oakland Raiders. Plenty more on this throughout the show, but we've got breaking news as it pertains to the Golden State Warriors. That's coming up in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.